The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. Informative and engaging. Rick Mudd. Rick Mudd on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, you better believe it. It's Wednesday, the 23rd of November, 2022. This is TNT Radio. We are live. Live. Coming at you live. Which is a great Tesla song, isn't it, Jeff? Yes, it is. He still hasn't listened to it. I just know it. But anyway, that's an in-joke amongst us locked and loaded folk here. If you've been around for a while, you'll know what I mean. But anyway, what are we going to start with today? Well, let me tell you what's on the menu. We have, well, I was going to say we have a starter and a main course, but no, we have two main courses here. We don't do starters and we don't do desserts. We just do big steaks with fried onions and mushrooms and gravy. Yes, we do. This is no-nonsense radio here. At least I'm trying to make it that way in the little time that I have. Toby Brown from Truth Talk UK will be joining me out of the blocks today in about 15 minutes. And then, after what feels like an eternity, Senator Malcolm Roberts from the One Nation Party in Australia will be beaming in to TNT Towers to let us know what he's been up to. He is on a tour at the moment, and he's certainly tearing holes in the old green climate hoax nonsense BS that's being pushed, especially over at that COP27 fiasco that they're having. He'll be joining me in the second hour of the show, so hopefully you'll stick around for that. Also, don't forget our chat is open. As always, open for business, tntradio.live. If you're listening in, get your fingers in action. Stop scratching your heads and start typing messages, questions, queries, whatever you like. Stick it on the chat or email me at rickmunn@tntradio.live if you feel led to do so. And thank you, by the way, if Englishman is listening in, he always sends me a lot of stuff through day-to-day stories and bits and pieces. I don't always get to cover them or even get to read through them all, to be quite frank with you, because I've got my own little agenda here also that I'm working on, but I do pay attention to what he's sending through. So thank you for that, and everybody else that contributes, you're more than welcome. Okay, what's going on in the world right now? Well, looking at the UK, Europe, and then Australia later on in the show, UK faces the worst downturn of any advanced economy. Well, imagine that, the worst downturn of any advanced economy. People are really starting to feel it now in their pockets, which is where everybody feels pain these days, in the pockets. Rail strikes are designed to cause maximum disruption, says cabinet minister in the UK. Yes, of course they are. It's a strike. What do you think they're supposed to do? They're supposed to cause maximum disruption. They're supposed to draw attention to a cause. So of course they're going to cause maximum disruption. But then again, you know, who has caused more disruption over the last 2 to 3 years than the cabinet themselves? It's rich for a cabinet minister to say that rail strikes are going to cause maximum disruption, when in fact, they've been causing maximum disruption for year after year after year after year. UK energy customers are receiving bills. Check this out. If you think you're getting it tight right now, if you think you're getting it tight, UK energy customers are receiving bills of up to £49,000 a year. Almost made me choke there. 49 grand a year. Energy bills, that's 4 grand a month. Okay, for Australians, that's about $6,000 a month just for your energy bills after the OVO takeover of SSE. So there's a lot of disgruntled customers out there. They're not happy, as you can imagine. It's kind of expensive just to switch the lights on these days, but it is what it is. Excuse me one second. Oh, this cough, it's the devil, I tell you. It's the devil. He wants to silence me, but it's not going to work. Satan, get thee behind me. As Jesus Christ once said himself, if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. And if it's good enough for me, it's good enough for you out there, listener. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the devil, this is quite bizarre, actually. Maybe this is a subconscious thing. Cristiano Ronaldo leaves Manchester United with immediate effect. Quite frankly, I don't care. And why am I saying this? Well, not that Ronaldo is the devil, of course, but he plays for Manchester United, who are also known as the Red Devils. Imagine that. Everything is just sinking together beautifully this morning. And I mean sinking with a Y, not sinking with an I. I'm even rhyming my words as well. Maybe this is going to be a spectacular show today. I wouldn't want to be tuning out and going elsewhere if I were you, listeners. So please, don't go away. Just letting you know, it's quite a bizarre one. This is going to be like a David Lynch episode of Locked and Loaded this morning. Don't know if you watch David Lynch films, but if you do, you'll know what I'm talking about here. We have an app that's available on the App Store and also the Google Play Store. Just search for TNT Radio. And of course, connect with us on our website, tntradio.live. You'll be able to find all the information you need about our shows, our presenters, back catalogue of shows that you can listen to again if you've missed some of your favourite guests or presenters. We have a merchandise shop on there coming up to Christmas. Buy Granny a new mouse mat if you must, or get yourself a Tasty TNT t-shirt, baseball cap, etc. It is tasty merch, I must admit. So avail yourself of some pruck on our website at TNT Radio.
Stream us wherever you are.
I listen on Alexa.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, here we go. The UK's government borrowing increased in October as the energy support scheme for households and businesses got underway, according to data released by the ONS, also known as the Office of National Statistics, on November 22nd. Government borrowing rose to £13.5 billion in October alone. The figure was £4.5 billion higher than the same last month and was the fourth largest figure for October since monthly records began in 1993, said the Office of National Statistics. And here to talk about this furore is none other than Sonia Bailey, TNT's finest. How are you, Sonia?
I'm all right, Rick. How are you?
I'm okay, actually. I'm a bit concerned. I might go off on very strange and bizarre tangents. The old cough medicine that I've been necking for the last 6 days solid. I think it's starting to affect my neurons or whatever those two things in my head are. Sonia, I don't know. Does that answer your question, by the way?
The bit that operates your mouth, maybe?
It'll keep working no matter what. Even if my heart stops beating, I'll keep talking. Don't you worry about that. What about this story?
Well, we have spoken at length over the last couple of weeks about the UK government's position on both renewables and the exorbitant cost of living. And mm-hmm. as you just mentioned in the news headlines, there has been an absolute multiplication in the cost of electricity and energy to homes. Mm. It's interesting that so many nations around the world are exponentially increasing their national debt at the same time as promising their citizens that things will become easier with time, because that's mm-hmm. clearly a lie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not getting any easier over time. I mean, I collect my electricity bills. And when I look back over them, you know, what I thought was high 6 months ago or a year ago, I only thought was high. They just keep increasing in price exponentially. I thank God I don't have gas heating in the house. The price of gas has went through the stratosphere also, although so has the price of oil-fired central heating oil, which I use to heat my house in the winter time. But it's a relief, a stay of execution from having gas, Sonia, let me tell you that. And I've noticed as well, by the way, there's somebody did a comparison this week. We're all paying more for energy, you guys, the French, the Americans, everything. But the UK is paying more per kilowatt hour for electricity and gas than anywhere else in the world, followed closely behind by Ireland. And we are a long way ahead of everybody else at the moment. I don't know why we're getting it so bad here, but yeah, we're getting kicked in the pocket hard.
Well, I think when we look at what's gone on over the last few months as far as prime ministers and national leadership in the UK, you sort of have hopped from Johnson to Truss to Sunak, and it doesn't seem that there's been an improvement as each prime minister has taken that captain's seat. There's certainly been announcements that things would improve, but the reality for Joe on the ground is that it's actually not improving. And yet with this most recent revelation that the government debt has increased by £2.5 billion since a year ago, the government is also crying foul, saying that they felt the impact of continued increases in the interest payments paid by the state on its debt after a raft of interest hikes by the Bank of England and rises in inflation. Now, that to me is very telling, because at the end of the day, we all know that our nations are indebted to the elite, and we know that the time is coming for those debts to be paid. So yeah. It's interesting that the government is saying, well, we're feeling the impact of it too, but I'm sure they're feeling it in quite a different way.
Yeah, the piper always needs to be paid at the end of the day, and that old saying, there's no such thing as a free lunch, certainly rings true here when it comes to these electricity subsidy handouts. Also worth noting as well, noted you'd made a point on this, that when our Liz was in her short reign of power that lasted all of about 6 weeks, when Liz Truss was shoehorned into number 10 along with Kwasi Kwarteng, and they unleashed the mini budget from hell that fateful Friday, she promised for 2 years to put a cap on the average price, a cap per se, but the average bill shouldn't be more than £2,500 a year, which was still double what it was last year. Okay, this time last year. So they capped it at double what it was at last year. People thought that was a good thing. At least we've got some stability for the next 2 years. But then, of course, when old Jeremy Hunt took over and Rishi Sunak is now in situ, this is now going to end next March and April time. So any help and any cap will be removed next year. And let me tell you, April is not that far away, considering we're pushing up towards December right now. So by my mathematics, that means about 4.5 months from now is all we've got left of this bonanza windfall payment that we're all going to get for this. But of course, we're going to pay for it in the long run, because there's no such thing as
comes
a free
out
lunch.
Of tax dollars,
it's a racket.
It's a racket. And I think what's important to note in this is that whilst Jeremy Hunt has come out and said, oh, well, you know, we're going to end the current price cap of £2,500 and we will replace that with a price cap of £3,000, but we're going to hold on to that for at least a year. Now, the thing is, if Truss already put something in place and he's overruling that, then who's to say that he's even going to honour what he's saying now in another couple of months' time when he ends the current price cap? And the reality is, the current price cap really isn't assisting anybody.
No, the only people that it's assisting are the energy companies who are getting guaranteed money poured into their coffers again on top of the massive, humongous profits that they're already making over the last 1 to 2 years. Anyway, it really is... Oh, when you look at all these schemes that are in place at the moment to transfer money from those that need it most to those that need it less, i.e. from the poor or from the working class up to these multinational corporations, energy companies, big pharma, government bodies, it's just another scheme of wealth transfer. And, you know, the average person, sadly, Sonia, is so beat up financially at the moment that when the government puts a proposition to them to say, listen, we know you're suffering right now. We know you're in financial distress. So we want to help you through this winter by giving you a payout. Of course, who's going to refuse that? You can't really, even if you wanted to. But they don't get that it's just going to be paid back over the next however many years
not only
or
that,
decades.
What comes with that handout, the further into trouble people get, the more strings will be attached to those government handouts. And that's when we begin to see a social credit system, digital identity, and digital currency coming into play, because people are so worn down, so worn out, and so desperate, they'll accept anything that the government wants to hand them.
Yeah, exactly. It's to be honest with you, this is a sad analogy to make, but you know, when anyone's getting interrogated or you know somebody's getting tortured for information, most people will dread the thought of it. They'll endure it for a time, but eventually most people will have a breaking point. They just can't take anymore. So even though they don't want to comply with their captors, or they don't want to give any information up, just because they've just had enough and they're at the end of their tether, they'll just take whatever relief that they can get, even if it's just a perceived relief. And sadly, I think the psychological warfare that's been waged on us and the financial warfare that's been waged on us over so long, people aren't even questioning anymore. They're just putting the hand out and saying, listen, just make this pain stop or alleviate it just a little bit. And they're not even seeing their governments or as their captors and their abusers, but that's all part of the that's all part of the psychological plan. But listen, we've got to pause there, Sonia, for now. Anyway, this is a topic I think we could have got into. We could talk for about 2 hours in this one, but well, unfortunately, time is our enemy, and we don't have it. So I appreciate you bringing that one up.
Thanks, Rick.
It is very pertinent. Much appreciated, Sonia. Hopefully, we'll get talking tomorrow. Toby Brown is incoming here from Truth Talk UK. On TNT Radio, please don't go away.
Patrick Henningsen on TNT Radio.
You got to understand who BlackRock is, that they're in partnership with the World Economic Forum, and they're basically running UN sustainable development policy from the back end, from the corporate end. Well, it's not the back end anymore. It's now the front end. He's also running the White House policy on this as well. This is probably one of the most important stories that we've covered for a while, because it answers so many questions. So many unanswered questions everybody has had about how can we stop this? How can we make this situation better? How can we arrest this disaster that is the global spike in gasoline, petroleum, and natural gas prices? Where is this all coming from? Well, it was planned. It was planned a while ago, long even before the so-called pandemic, and certainly a long time before Vladimir Putin decided he was going to launch a special military operation in the Donbass and Ukraine. But you wouldn't know it if you listened to our wonderful and vaunted intellectual powerhouses known as politicians who keep wanting to scapegoat Putin for the energy crisis, for the inflation crisis, etc. Nobody wants to own it.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Lorry from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
For the news and views you can't hear anywhere else.
You guys are talking about everything that I just wanted to ask about.
This is Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay. These sweepers are catching me out a little bit. They keep changing them on me. And I'm not going to lie, as I get older, my brain functioning capacity, I'm noticing it deteriorate. And you know what? Some nice people have said, don't say things like that, Rick. You know, don't say things like that. You know, you're going to enable it to happen faster. No, listen, I have banked my head off many a hard substance. I have banked my head off many a hard structure over the course of my life. I have received several blows to the skull, let me just say, by some unsavory individuals. I headbanged incessantly through my teenage years, and I still subject my ears to high volume, nasty music on a daily basis. And trust me, kids, if you're out there and you're listening and you're young, it does take its toll. I can testify to that. But anyway, I'm really happy. I can just about string a sentence together here this morning. I'm really happy to be joined again by Toby from Truth Talk. UK. Seems like it's been an age since he's been on here. He reminds me of a Russian nuclear submarine. He's just up surfacing again, and he'll be downing Periscope and taking off to somewhere else after the show. I don't know what he's doing. Tony, Toby, Rick, sort it out, son. Toby, how are you?
Yeah, better than you, mate, it sounds.
car crash radio. You're part of it, son. You're in the passenger seat. I hope you got your seatbelt on, because I'm hurtling towards that wall at high velocity. How's life?
Yeah, can't really complain, mate. To be fair, it's been a busy month, especially with Truth Talk. Obviously, we'll come on, but in general, despite the world falling down around the edges all around us, it's been all right. We're going all right down here in a minute.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. And I had Seek for Truth on, I think it was last Friday. Hadn't spoke to him for a little while. You guys have been laboring feverishly on your website. Now, you had a website. In fact, one of the first things you and I ever did when you came onto the show for the very first time is we discussed that said website, which, by the way, is truthtalk.uk. You already had a website there. It was a good portal, one I delved into and went to as a source of information, but you've really revamped it up. You've really rejigged it up, and you've launched, I don't know if it's a new website or you would call it an updated website, but it feels like a new project, even though it's kind of not, but it just is light years ahead of what it used to be. Tell us a little bit about the reasoning behind that. Why didn't you just leave it alone and be lazy?
I think laziness will be the downfall of all of us at the minute if we did that. I think a good way really to describe it is sort of Truth Talk 2.0. We set up the original one around the beginning of sort of lockdown COVID era, and it was very much based on that sort of thing, you know, the COVID narrative, the health, the rights. And obviously, throughout the course of the last year too, as you've seen, the site's grown. We brought some good people on board, and it was just kind of time to give it a bit of a revamp, but make it more accessible, make it more usable, user friendly, be able to bring more people in, allow us to expand the scope of what we do, how we do it. The platform it was on was relatively basic. So the new site, I mean, it gives us so much. It's still really 2.0, I mean 2.1, 2.2, we're sort of working on. There's more things we're going to add and things we're going to do, but yeah, really, really happy with it. It's taken us, I think, about a month all told. Seek's been working feverishly on the content. We've added some really good features and plugins. We've brought a really good team of people who are sort of happy to throw the content under our banner as well. So really, really proud with it, to be honest with you. The relaunch has gone great. Our numbers are great. Very, very happy. Couldn't have gone better.
Excellent. And there's an extra feature on there, by the way, that wasn't present on the first version of your website. You want to tell us a little bit about what that special feature is?
Yeah, it's a little exclusive for you, isn't it? This is the first time we're telling anyone about this, actually. If you go to our site now, truthtalk.uk, there's a little button top left, says Get Merch, or you can hit Merchandise in the menu, or we're very cleverly set up a link, truthtalk.uk/merch. If you go there, it'll redirect to our partner site, where you can buy hoodies, t-shirts, cups, mugs, you know, all the usual stuff. We had a first customer last night, mate, didn't we?
Yeah, who was it? Can you divulge that under data protection or what?
I think we probably got his permission to. Yeah, but it's some dodgy Irish guy, but he's bought something anyway, and he is customer number one, so he'll forever hold that honor.
Yeah, and that was me, by the way. Seriously, I won't tell you where I was when I put the order in, but let's just say I was the first customer. Actually, genuinely was the first customer. He went and checked it out. And listen, I do believe in supporting people that are busting their asses trying to get the truth out there. And you can do so by, for example, by also getting some merch. And it's very tasty, by the way. I had been hankering after one of those Truth Talk t-shirts, which I promptly ordered. And of course, we have the same facility now on our website, because at the end of the day, you're supporting an enterprise, or you're supporting a project, but at the same time, you're getting something back from it as well. So go on the site if you're listening in. Primarily, you'll see all the, it's really nice. It scrolls from top to bottom, and then it can scroll from left to right or right to left. You'll see it when you play around with it. Looks slick. Truthtalk.uk. And of course, check out their merch section also. And you can just have a browse at it. It's very nice. There's multiple angles for all the t-shirts, and it shows you all the proc that you can get on there. Get yourself on there. It's coming up to Christmas. Treat yourself to a nice, tasty Truth Talk t-shirt. So there you go. That's a shameless plug for you guys on that one.
It's Black Friday as well. There is a 15% offer for the next 2 weeks. So yeah, grab yourself a bargain now.
Excellent. Well, there you go. You don't have any reason not to do it. And you guys deserve it, by the way, because I'll tell you what, I would say a lot of your contributors individually and unconnectedly I've been talking to over the course of this year and have provided invaluable input on all sorts of subject matter here on TNT Radio. Yourself, Sieg, Tim Hinsliff, David Nolan, the list goes on and on. Jesse Smith, I don't want to leave anybody out because you know I've got the brain fog, but if you're listening in, you'll know who I'm talking about. Karen Hunt's another one. I don't want to miss Karen because she gets up at 2 o'clock in the morning to do this.
Amy Mack, Alison Hardman, Joe Allen, I mean, Katrina.
Yeah,
a lot of people. It just goes on. Such a good team.
It's a great, great, great portal, let me just say, for you listeners to TNT Radio to be able to connect with, you know, anything that's going on relevant to what's happening in the world now. I would say it's a go-to portal, the same way as this place, in my opinion, is a go-to portal to hear about things. And also, obviously, we have our own sections on our website for the same sort of thing. You guys have really launched hard this year, which is fantastic. So we're going to take a short break. And then when we come back after this news break, we're going to look at some of the things that are happening in and around us in the UK that may or may not be cause for concern over the next 6 to 12 months. So stay tuned, you lovely listeners to TNT Radio.
Matt Boyland here with a check of your TNT headlines. Hungary's foreign minister has spoken out in defiance of EU and US pressure over his country's ties with the Russian nuclear sector. The death toll from the devastating earthquake in Indonesia has risen to 268 as rescuers continue to recover bodies from the rubble. And Poland's president has been fooled by a pair of Russian pranksters into believing he was speaking with the French president, telling him he doesn't want a war with Russia.
For a complete list of shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio, simply visit our website at tntradio.live. We serve up the latest live news and current affairs, presented by a host of credible and expert commentators who can separate fact from fiction, truth from propaganda, keeping you in the loop on TNT Radio.
Okay, let me say this. I was mulling over some things that I've said over the last, well, the last year, let's just say, from the beginning of this year. And I came upon a tweet that it put out in January, you know, which is, what, 10 months ago or so. And it said, within 6 months, Boris Johnson will be gone as the UK Prime Minister. Okay, by July. I got it wrong by a month. I think he was gone in August. But anyway, I said, within 6 months, Boris Johnson will be gone. It was my MI6 handler. If you're listening in, you know, get it right next time, dude. Whoever replaces him, you'll wish Boris was back again. Now, I know you're no lover of Boris Johnson, maybe, or the Conservative Party. Most people aren't. But was that a reasonable statement they've made, that we have almost jumped out of the frying pan and into the fire with our government and there's really no alternatives in sight?
That was prophetic of you, wasn't it? I think so. I mean, I think I said that once Boris was gone, that Rishi was the poster boy of the World Economic Forum, and he was the one that was being lined up in every sense to take over and further the global agenda. Whereas obviously Liz Truss was a bit of a spanner in the works. I don't think that was supposed to happen. And you saw literally the machinations of not just government, media, you know, the arms of the big companies that are running everything above that, just turn around and destroy her, destroy the government, make the position untenable so that they could flip it around and get the guy they wanted. I mean, it was literally a coup. You know, the government that was in was not liked by business, was not liked by the banks, was not liked by the markets. So they replaced them, and without so much as a whimper. And I think that's one of the things that went really unreported. It's like everyone's sort of joking that, you know, the government's a mess. It's like, hang on a minute. Who's engineered this? Because trust me, it isn't the people. The people had the outcry. because of the media, because of the manipulation, because of everything else that was being thrown at them. So, yeah, it's a strange old time to me. But, you know, as ever, they got what they wanted. They've got Rishi in number 10, and they're going to further their agenda, or try to.
You know, here's the thing. A lot of this is just, I'm just speaking out loud. I'm thinking out loud. Let me just say, I'm thinking out loud here. A lot of people have completely lost faith in the democratic process. They believe that voting is now futile. It doesn't matter who you vote for. They're two cheeks of the same ass. There's this binary system in force, you know, red and blue and Labour and Tories and, you know, whatever it happens to be, wherever you happen to live. Okay, so there's a lot of despondency now around democracy and politics. But what's the alternative? I mean, we can't resort to anarchy and lawlessness. Or can we? Of course, it's an option, but it's not really a good option. What is the way forward, do you think? Because we don't have alternative. I mean, who have we got in the UK? We've got Keir Starmer. Labour's a no-no. The Greens are a no-no. You've got somebody like Nigel Farage, who I think is like a shark, who can smell a drop of blood in a water from a quarter of a mile away now. He's getting a little bit of rejuvenation now at the possibility of having another run at some kind of political career. Do we need somebody like Farage? Is he the best of a bad lot? Should we settle for the least bad candidate? Where do you see us going? I mean, it is what it is at the minute, but what options do we really have, man, to undo this unholy mess?
Well, I mean, there's the famous saying, isn't it? There's left wing or right wing. They're both still part of the same bird. And for years, that was hugely apparent, really, in America. I mean, the game's being played out. And I think that's hugely, especially in the last 20, 30 years, become a point over here because of the way big business has infested politics. The left and the right are funded by the same people, ultimately. Mm-hmm. And I think there are probably three routes out of this. Or three ways that it's going to manifest. And the first one is obviously the system's going to completely fall down. Whether that's ends up with us in a sort of smaller community sort of living. I don't know whether the system gets torn down on purpose or by us or however that works. That's probably the least liked option because it's going to end up with a lot of trouble. I think the next option is, they just keep steamrolling us the way we're going. We're going to end up with digital identities, CDBCs, all of these ways for technology to enslave us, which, again, doesn't really look like a very good way out of things. The third way, I think, is one that we should look at a lot more, and it really hasn't ended the conversation very much, which is sort of digital direct democracy. So whilst it does have a semblance of having to use a DigiID and various things like that within it, it takes away the middleman. It erases party politics in an instant. Because essentially you can, I know it's you wouldn't have a referendum on every single thing that's going on, but you look at the Swiss model, anything that is relatively contentious or needs to be voted on, the population have to vote on it. And if 50% of the population say no, then it doesn't happen. So the politicians are also there. They're voted for by the people, and they can be replaced very easily, all using digital direct democracy. That's it in a real simplistic nutshell. But I think if technology is going to be the overriding thing for us for the next, forever, really, then, you know, we need to find a way to use it to our benefit and to actually eradicate the bumps in what is political in our society. And I think the best way to do that is get rid of party politics. And if we get a direct line to making the rules, that's one way we can take our power back. And that's the way I hope this kind of falls down when it all does fall down, that we realize that they're just so corrupt, they have to be gone, and we need a better way to do this.
Right. Okay. That third point that you made there is something that I think needs to be expanded on, because I'll tell you why. Usually, you know, a lot of people are scratching their heads at the moment saying, what do we do? How do we get out of this mess? It's not just to say a simple case of, okay, we go for option three and everything will be fine. We go for option two and everything will be fine. There's going to be problems no matter what. That's life, okay? You can't get through life unscathed unless you live literally in a bubble, which none of us do. Okay, so this option number three, at the very, very least, even if we had our current governments in situ, okay, the ones that are thrashing us at the minute, even if there was some way to put major decisions to some type of a referendum, for example, the way it was with Brexit, it should be employed for the like of funding foreign aid in a recession. Are you for it? Are you against it? Are you for an open borders? Are you against it? Are you for mass unvetted migrants piling into the country? Are you not? At the least, if it was done with integrity, at least people would have some kind of a say and influence on the major decisions, even though they hated the government and they may be shafted in other areas. It's, well, you know what, at least I don't have to worry about six busloads of unvetted Albanians landing in Linton-on-Ouse, somewhere up in Yorkshire, and taking over the community. For example, people would have a say in that. At the very least, should we not be? Should there not be more consultations with the public? Are the public just simply at the point now where they're literally, how would you say, politically stoned? Politically stoned. They're glazed-eyed. They're staring at their leaders and just nodding at anything that's being said. They're literally stoned politically.
I think people are both politically apathetic and disenfranchised. The people who aren't so much apathetic are feeling disenfranchised. And, you know, we go along every 4 years, 2 years, whatever, local council elections and tick a box. And it's all very archaic. And that, in most senses, is the only engagement people have with politics through the course of their life. Once every 4 years, they'll go and tick a box. And I think, again, that's half of the problem, is that everyone's got a lot to say, but no one really knows how to say it. You know, MPs are increasingly out of touch. R1 down here, you're lucky if you even get a reply to an email from him. But if he was held to account, so on, say he proposed a new policy for down here, it would have to go out to everyone who registered in our local area and say, do you want to do this? Do you not? And then if people were able to shape what he did rather than him telling us what he's going to do, and us just having to go with it and complain quietly with our little emails, it would take the power back in such a massive way. It would force them to respond, because if they weren't then doing the things they're mandated to do, there would be clear evidence and they could be replaced and removed. So it gives that power back to the people, which I think has increasingly since World War II, according to a lot of books I've read, been scraped away more and more and more. Our access to the people who govern us, our access to impact on that, and the fact that our one vote doesn't count as much as a lobbyist's millions, which has been the massive change over the last 30 years.
It has. There's another interesting point you raised there, that most people's interaction with politics is once every 4 years. They go to their local community centre, a local primary school. It's been shut for the day. Kids get a day off. You get to go in, file in with your polling card, as they use here. They check you are who you say you are. Then you tick a box, you put it in a bigger box, and then you shuffle off back home, and then you feel like you've had your say in the running of the country. And in reality, I'll be honest, like, for a long time I did vote. And in Northern Ireland, most people had no idea what the parties that they stood for actually represented in terms of policies. Okay, so everything was done on a unionist or Republican basis. You know, your dad or your mum told you who you were going to vote for. Now you make sure you vote for this and you make sure you vote for that. I'm generalizing here, but that's generally the way it was. If you were to stop someone coming out of a polling station and they had just voted, for example, for the Alliance Party, and say, could you tell me what their policies are in Europe? Could you tell me what their financial, your economic policies are? It's like, I have no idea. I just like the look of that one. And there's a big picture of them with a tick. And I'd say, that's who I went for. Is that not one of the reasons we're in this mess? Because we've literally, as a nation, sleptwalked to the edge of the precipice, and we're about to shuffle off this mortal coil politically because of ignorance and a lack of knowledge.
Yeah, wholly. And again, that's by design. I think I mentioned in a previous show with you, my great-grandfather was an MP, General Secretary of Civil Service around Churchill time, did a lot just after the war in helping rebuild the country. And he wrote a book called Everyone's Guide to Parliament, because he fully believed everyone and should know what goes on and how it all works, and should be more than just thinking that they've played their part, because there is a certain amount of laziness in that engagement with the political system. It's just having your vote, slippery shoulders, really. You know, I've done my bit. I've picked your party. Now you go and do everything I want. And what they'll do is they'll sit and snipe from the sidelines. They won't, you know, you see it all the time on social media now. You know, Tories this, Labour that, blah, 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 blah. It's tribal. It's like football. But because people go and tick that box, it feels that they give them the right. You see that a lot. People say, oh, you don't vote, you have no right to criticise the system. You have every right to criticise the system, 100%. But if you do vote, don't think that that's you doing your part. It's not. You're the lazy one. You know, you're the one that's the problem here. So, yeah, people don't know what's going on. They don't know what their vote does. They certainly don't know what the people they vote for are doing. And even the people who they do vote for, the things they say they're going to do, they're probably not anyway. There's no way to hold them to account. You know, so is
what a racket, eh? What a system. If you're on the political side of things, what a system to be a part of. You can operate how you like, you can do your expenses, you can act with complete importunity and probable immunity from anybody investigating you, prosecuting you, as we've seen with our own governments over the last 2 to 3 years. Criminals, absolute arch criminals of the highest order. They're still walking free. They're still doing what they're doing. They're still peddling their wares, and they're still making a killing. I think Trudeau, there was an article came out, and I know we can't put exact figures in this, but his alleged net worth has went up from 10 million 2 years ago to 385 million Canadian dollars on a salary of 370 grand a year. Now, I'm no expert mathematician, but 2370s is what, 740? So his net worth should be 10.7 million, not 350 million, and nobody's really, we're talking about it, and we're aghast at the figures, but who's investigating the dude? What about the billions going and spaffing over into Ukraine? Where's the accountability? Where's the spreadsheets? Where's the financial breakdown of who got what, the receipts and so on? There is none. There's none at all. And still the money goes, support Ukraine. I stand with Ukraine. Support it. Support it. Oh, people literally slitting their own bloody throats through ignorance. And I'm going to get spiritual with you here. The Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and never was it more prevalent on planet Earth than it is right now. Can I get an amen?
Yeah, amen. It's so true. I mean, again, you only have to look at all of the World Economic Forum, not just Jacinda Ardern. Obviously, her net worth's gone up. Look at the Biden family on their earnings. Look at people who've spent their entire year life in Congress or in the Senate on a Senate salary or Congress salary, who sometimes have earnings of £100 million. It's like, why don't people look at this? Follow the money has been a phrase for journalists, especially for forever. I mean, but people are just blind to it. Oh, they're just because they're on telly lots. They're rich. No, really, no, exactly.
No. And look at, we'll leave it at this, but look at Rishi Sunak as the prime example. You know, father-in-law, tech billionaire, wife has businesses with Russian connections. Their estimated net worth is something like 740 million quid, and he's on a salary of 170 grand a year. Now, I'm a reasonably humble guy, but if I had 740 million in the bank, maybe I would still work for TNT actually, because I actually enjoy doing this. But the point that I'm making is you couldn't pay me to come and do this job if I had $750 million net worth sitting in other assets. I could be off doing other things. So listeners, think about these things as you look at these people on TV. They don't get to the positions they're in, simply as Toby said, by being on the telly. They've got their fingers in a lot of pies. They've got their fingers in a lot of pies. We've got to take a quick ad break here. The time's going by too quick, mate, to be quite frank. I wish we could, Elon Musk could develop some kind of time-reducing tech, which he maybe is working on. But got to take an ad break, and when we come back, we'll look at some more similar type issues and stories here on TNT Radio. Don't go away.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Hey, are you sick and tired of white cis men, a.k.a. straight white men? If you answered yes, you were almost in luck. Unfortunately for you, the good folks at the Gender, Sexuality, and Resource Center at Gettysburg College in Pennsylvania, they've postponed a painting and writing event that they were planning to host for people who just can't stand the fact that they have to deal with the scum that are white cis men. The gathering was to be a part of a Peace and Justice senior project where participants would be welcome to paint and write about how freaking evil white straight men really are. According to the Daily Mail, the entries, trashing straight white males, would then be displayed in the dining hall on campus. But the party was canceled after a backlash from some students. A bunch of homophobic bigots, no doubt. White supremacists. By the way, the stated mission of the Gender Sexuality Resource Center strive to establish a culture of support on campus for every person to feel safe and empowered to be their authentic selves. Every student except straight white males, apparently. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Natural disasters may seriously threaten civilization in future, yet the mainstream media peddles a pseudo-scientific man-made climate crisis. A major cosmic event would provide a real challenge for civilization. An asteroid strike may induce an ice age and major crop failures. And a solar coronal mass ejection that knocks out much of the world's electrical and communications systems would make today's problems look trivial. A solar coronal mass ejection hit Earth's magnetosphere in September 1859 and induced the largest geomagnetic storm on record. People in northeastern United States could read a newspaper by the light of the Aurora Borealis. Telegraph systems failed, and some telegraph operators received electric shocks. If such a solar storm happened today, power grids, GPS systems, telephones, and the internet could be disabled for an extended period.
Scotland is to cut down more than 14 million trees to make way for wind turbines. The green dream of wind and solar is a nightmare.
We mandate that the truth be told.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Yeah, I'm talking with Toby here from Truth Talk, and our chat's very lively this morning. Sorry, guys, I've been neglecting to dip into that brain fog and all that old age. Can't really multitask too well right now. But yes, Nick Bumble is also promoting Truth Talk on there. People are asking, what's the name of that website again? So it's truthtalk.uk. It's so simple, even I can remember it without writing it down. So it's truthtalk.uk. Get on there, have a browse, have a look around and see what you think. And if you like it, promote it also. Make people aware of it. Put a post up on your own social media page and say, listen, check out the site. I think it's very good. Great source of information. That's how it works, by the way, people. Word of mouth is the best advertising there is. You can pay a lot of money in campaigns and you can target certain groups and this, that, and the other, but there's nothing better than a good personal referral. Would you agree with that one, Toby? Best way to 100%. Get the word out is to make people aware you have a good product and then they go ahead and promote it themselves.
Yes, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Word of mouth has always been the best. And again, it's seemingly one of the ways we're all connecting, albeit digital mouth now. That seems to be a new thing, doesn't it? Word of digital mouth, I suppose, is a better way of putting it. But yeah, I mean, it's how we got recommended to you guys. I mean, you've been recommended to us. It's how we've been recommended a lot of the guys we work with and follow, and likewise. And also to anyone out there who is listening, you know, if you've got a story or you're a writer or you think you can contribute in any way, don't feel you can just read. Come along, join the team, you know, get involved. Excellent. This is a war we're in right now. We need as many soldiers as possible.
Excellent. And there's a thing there too, by the way. A lot of people, let me just say, let's look at this for a moment too. Everyone's got a different skill set. Everyone has a different skill set, but everyone has a skill set nonetheless. Okay. And sometimes people could hear somebody talking like I do and say, oh, I can't talk like he does. Listen, this is the way I've been since I've been 11 months old. I started talking when I was 11 months old in sentences. It's all I can do. I can't do tech stuff. I can't do electrical stuff. I'm crap in every other way of my life, but this is what I do. So I'm doing it. Okay. You're in the media, web design, you were a journalist. That's what you're doing. Other people can't promote things very well, or other people can be comforting to other people. Other people can campaign or get campaigns organized. We need everybody involved. And sometimes people are very good with words, but writing words, I haven't got the patience to be a writer. I've got a lot of material that I could write about, believe you me, but I haven't got the patience. I've got a short attention span, so that's why I like to beep, 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 beep. But some people out there might like to type, and they might like Karen Hunt, for example, who does she ever stop typing? Karen, if you're listening, do you ever stop typing? Really? She non-stop, she's a machine, and she's just pumping out the content. Seeks another one. He pops out a lot. Tim Hinchliffe. These guys can type and research, and they get so into it. They put together a beautiful article. People like that, We don't need journalistic qualifications per se. We just need passion and a little bit of hard work. So if you're listening, all you guys out there and girls, if you're listening and you say, well, I would like to be part of something, well, the offer's out there. If you've got a piece you want to submit, I would say for editorial consideration, you do it through the truthtalk.uk website.
Yeah,
and you guys will give it a scan. Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. I mean, and that's how we found a few people. You know, we get article submissions through the email address, through the contact form. Obviously, people hit us up on Twitter, which is kind of where our biggest presence is. And we'll go out and hunt people as well. We see people who have, you know, little websites on WordPress.com or a little blog somewhere. And, you know, while they're excellent at writing and stuff, it may not be getting the exposure it should get. So, you know, I've built websites and tech and worked in city and done big business and all these, all Christ knows how many different jobs over the years. But what we aim to try and do is take people like that and say, hey, you know, let's give, stand on our shoulders. Let's get what you're saying out there, because it's good information. It's good stuff that people should be seeing. And I think that's really being one of our biggest strengths at the minute. So if you are a budding writer, if you're not even a budding writer, if you're an accomplished writer, if you've got something you want to say and you don't feel it's seen, being seen by enough people, then send it across to us. We'll be happy to work
with you. Well, there you go, listeners. And that's another avenue that people can explore. Obviously, it's not going to be for everybody, but maybe there's somebody out there today listening and say, well, I can write and I would like an opportunity. Well, there you go, truthtalk.uk. And let me give you two names, actually, Toby, that are coming to my head, people who write. There was one guy called Ben Pyle, B-E-N-P-I-L-E. Check him out on Twitter. He does phenomenal articles and pieces that he puts together on all sorts of political and climate things. And a big, an amazing big Yorkshireman called Roger Tattersall, a.k.a. Rog Tallbloke, who's famously 6 feet eight in his bare feet. He's an amazing guy, very politically astute, blogs a lot about the climate scam, etc. So you can find him on tallbloke.wordpress.com, but I'll send you these three after the show. Those guys would really good for your website also. So you're covering all the bases. It's not just one particular field as well, isn't that right?
Absolutely. Yeah, no. And I'll get in touch with these guys. If you could send me that over, that'd be amazing. But as I said to you pre-relaunch, we want to diversify and expand on our offering as well, which is different subjects, different writers, you know, a lot wider scope of stuff to write on. And also, you know, not all bad news, good news, some good stuff that's going on, which once I finish building all this stuff is probably going to be a bit more my focus, as well as the video sort of digital media stuff, because we've got more coming along on that soon. So, yeah, absolutely. If, you know, anything that's going on out there, everything's political. So by all means, send us an article, get in touch, sign up, drop us a message on Twitter at truthtalk.uk. We want to work with pretty much everyone out there, really.
Brilliant. And that's what it's all about, by the way. And even I try and get people on, like I'll have people message me on social media to say, listen, I have stuff that I would like to say on your show. We'll have a little bit of dialogue. I don't limit who I have on here based on they have a certain
presence. You have me on.
You know, I'm scraping the barrel here. You know what I mean? So take note, listeners. If Toby can make it on here, you can. But yeah, genuinely, you know, I don't care about numbers. If someone has 16 people following on Twitter, but they've got a voice and they have passion and they can express what they're saying, that's good enough for me. I'm not after the big wigs. I want to hear it from the grassroots people, and I want to hear points delivered with passion and with a little bit of fervor. So that's my criteria for having guests on the show, obviously. And I think it's working well so far. So you're using the same type of business model. Let me say one thing as we wrap this up, because we've only got a few minutes left. As you know, the G20 has been going on. Klaus Schwab, along with other unelected representatives, has been there. Rishi Sunak being another one, another unelected representative. Schwab speaks very assumptively that the fourth industrial revolution is a done deal. The digital ID is a done deal. The CBDCs are a done deal. And while I will say that the trajectory that we're on looks like it's going down that road, it definitely looks like it's going down that road, it is not a done deal. Make sure you keep an attitude that we are not in a hopeless predicament. There is always hope, but it will involve effort. It will involve mobilization. It will involve rising up. We're not going to change things by sitting on our asses, as it were, but we need to unify and we need to be focused and we need to not get despondent, because when your head goes down, that's when you just want to stay in bed under the duvet. You just want to say, it's a lost cause. They've got us, blah, blah, blah. They don't. They don't. And I think you would have the same mindset. You're a realist, but you're also an optimist. And you're not flogging hopium, but at the same time, it's not over yet. It's not over till the fat lady sings. What do you reckon?
No, 100% agree. Yeah, it's not over. And we've just got to be very clever and use their tools against them. Use the internet, use the digital way that works. Look at digital voting and all the other things. It's a system that's in place that's going to try and enslave us. Let's use it to free us.
Amen. Let's use it to free us. Listen, I like ending on a little bit of a high note with you, as we always do. We're up to time, unfortunately, but it's been lovely seeing you and talking to you again. That's Toby from Truth Talk. .uk. Check out the website, show them some love, get yourself some tasty merch for Christmas. You and I'll stay in touch, and you have a good day, my friend. Thanks for listening in, people.
Cheers.
I'll be back after the break with Senator Malcolm Roberts. Please don't go away.